Take your Bibles this evening, and we'll look at the 42nd chapter of the book of Psalms. If you can find that here this evening. Psalms chapter 42. If you haven't seen my son Jonathan, you can make sure you go by and see him tonight. A little bit less crowd, so you might be able to get to see him. Yeah. Jonathan means a gift from God, so we're rejoicing in a gift from the Lord. And just so you know, that his middle name is Haddon, not Hayden. But we gave him that name because for Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he was a Baptist preacher in London in the mid-1800s to late 1800s. And a preacher that I've really enjoyed growing up. I always was reading him and his sermons and really enjoyed that. So that's where his middle name comes from, if you've been wondering, Haddon. So, but we're thankful for the Lord, how he has given us a gift from the Lord. It was interesting, there was a Chinese man who came to America for the first time. He went to the store and was just amazed, you know, to find so many instant products. You know how that is today. Instant mashed potatoes, you know, you just add water and you got mashed potatoes. Instant pancakes, instant milk, you know, powdered milk. He was really surprised when he went down a little bit farther and he saw baby powder. And he didn't know for sure what that was about. But yeah, that's just a joke. But Psalms chapter 42 in the Word of God tonight. And I trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts here tonight. You know, the Lord doesn't have us come just to come. He wants to speak to our hearts, and each of us need to hear from the Lord. Each of us have burdens on our heart. Each of us have trials that we're facing. And I trust that each of us will leave encouraged and having heard from the Lord here tonight. Psalms chapter 42, a great passage of Scripture. It starts by saying, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." There certainly comes a time in each life as a believer where we sense a need that, or a sense that we have drifted from the Lord. Sense that there has been things that have come into our life that have robbed, that have stolen our heart for God. And you know what? Tonight, I trust that through the Word of God and through the preaching, that God would give us a greater sense, a greater thirst for God. And that's what we're going to focus on here tonight, a thirst for God. And before we begin, let's just ask the Lord to bless this time. Lord, would you speak to each heart here tonight? Would you use me as your channel to deliver the message that I trust and I know that you want and desire for your people here tonight? May we be encouraged and challenged. Lord, if there's areas of need in our life, would we meet those needs here tonight? And I pray that you'd rekindle a fire in a heart and a passion in our soul and a thirst after you. And so, Lord, do that work in each heart here, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. A thirst for God. The author of this passage here, "As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." Have you ever had a time in your life where you could echo those words? A time where it seemed like you were just at the bottom of the barrel. It seemed like nothing was going right. It seemed like you were trying to get a hold of God. You were praying. You were reading His Word. And it just seemed like God was distant. And it created that same kind of heart cry in you. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And I trust tonight that God will do that work in our heart and give us that passion for him, that same heart cry. But many times there's things in life that steal our heart. There's things that we allow to come in that steal our heart. Many times there's good things that just trump our relationship and our walk with God. And that ought not to be. And tonight we need to rekindle that thirst for God. And putting God, that thirst and that desire and relationship with Him. It's often in those sparse, dry conditions that we sense the need and a thirst for God. So tonight, a thirst for God comes in a time of desolation. I remember just a few summers ago, I remember probably the worst drought that I remember here in Wisconsin. I'm sure there have been worse, but just a few summers ago, I remember how dry it got. I remember our vacation Bible school pictures. We look back at down on the farm year, and the grass was just as brown and dry as it could get. And I just remember how dry the conditions were. You'd look at the fields and all the crops were beginning just to wither in the dry heat. And I mean, it was a kind of a discouraging sight. And everybody was hoping for rain. You were paying attention to the weather, but it would just be for weeks and it was just sunny and no rain. And those conditions really created a very desolate situation here around in southeast Wisconsin. And you know, the thirst that we have and need for God often comes in those times where we're desolate, where we, our soul is just famished, where it's dried up, the bones have no water, and we're thirsting after God, and we are in that desolate condition, and we see, well, I need God. And we become thirsty for Him. And you know, it can be a personally, we can experience that. Or even as a church, we can experience that. Those times of desolation. And where really those times cause us to start to thirst and seek after God. Oh, that desolation of our soul where we sense we are maybe even far from God. The parched soil of our heart that has not been saturated by the Word of God and communion with Him. And maybe tonight you have allowed sin or things into your life that have robbed the nutrients, robbed that Word of God, saturating our life, and we're famished here tonight. We're desolate, and we need a thirst for God. I love how the Bible, throughout the Scripture, compares this really to a drought, and I just gave that illustration. But why don't we just look there at Psalms chapter 42, and it gives this illustration of a deer that's seeking after the water brooks. That's seeking after that water. And he's panting. That's the idea of crying out for water. He's just, everything in him is looking for water. And that's the idea of us as believers. We ought to be thirsting after God. It's like we have gone for time without water and we're thirsty. We're just desiring that water to quench our thirst. In verse 2 it says, my soul thirsteth for God. For the living God. He was thirsty for God. Only God could satisfy it. You know, have you ever been out working all day or something and only that glass of water could really quench that thirst? And here the psalmist, that he was longing after God. That was the only thing that was going to quench his thirst. And if you're here tonight in a desolate condition, only God can meet that need. Only God can revive and bring that nutrients back. In Joel chapter 1 and verse 20, we can turn over there here this evening. Joel chapter 1 and verse 20, we see that same word used that is used in Psalm chapter 42 that speaks of pant as the deer panteth. In Joel chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, but I will remove far off from the northern army and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east, and his hinder part toward the utmost. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Scaring you there. I feel like pastor. Joel chapter 1 and verse 20. Joel chapter 1 and verse 20 now. The beasts of the field, there's that word, like panteth. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee. Why? Because the rivers of waters are dried up. And that word cry there is the same word as in Psalm chapter 42, as the heart panteth. He's crying after the water brooks. And that ought to be our passion. We ought to be crying after God, panting after Him, like that water that only can satisfy. Turn back to Psalms chapter, turn back to the book of Psalm and look at chapter 63. Here we see again that picture of a drought being used to illustrate this passion for God and thirst for Him. Psalm chapter 63 and verse 1. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. It's a picture that we can very much identify with. We can very much identify with this, and oftentimes not to the same extent, but you know, we get thirsty and maybe we can't get to water right away, but we're longing after water to quench our thirst. And here, the psalmist, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee, my soul thirsteth for Thee. And in other passages of Scripture, we can look and see that same example used. But that's really the picture and the mindset that we ought to have in our relationship and our walk with God. Do we seek after Him? Do we long? Do we cry out for that relationship, that walk with Him? You know, if your walk, your spiritual walk with God here tonight is suffering, ask God to give you that heart. Ask God to give you that desire to cry out, to pant after Him, to seek after Him as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Maybe you tonight can sense that in your soul. Maybe you can sense that there's that barrenness. And you need to begin panting, seeking after God. You know, I sense in our church at this time, we need to start in a more desperate way seeking after God. We need to start seeking after Him. We're allowing things to steal our heart. And we need to get back to thirsting after God as individuals and as a church. Start seeking after God. And you know what? That's a sign of spiritual maturity when, as believers, we can sense, I'm not where I ought to be. You know, we ought to discern in our life and say, okay, I'm not where I used to be, or I'm not where I ought to be. And we ought to get on our face before God and start seeking after Him. And that ought to be something that we can discern. And it's really a sign of spiritual maturity when we recognize I've gotten off course. I need to get back on track. And you know, you ought to be able to sense, I remember Pastor mentioning this before, where our church is at. And you know what, that's a good thing for God's people to be able to sense, okay, our church, we need to get back thirsting after God. And a new renewed passion for Him. You know, maybe we're not where we ought to be tonight. It often may seem like in those desolate times, it seems like God is distant. Or maybe God isn't answering our prayers. Or maybe we're seeking Him to see souls saved. And that's really been Pastor's burden this year, is for 15 souls in 2015. And we need to start getting serious and desperate for God to do that work. We ought to be seeking and thirsting after God in a greater way. We need God's power. We need His blessing in our midst. And it's going to come when God's people start thirsting after Him. So a thirst for God comes when there is a desolate in times of desolation. But we also see here that a thirst for God comes with recognition of the need. Tonight, we have to recognize the need in our life. We have to recognize our personal need. Not looking at other people and say, well, look at his need. No, there needs to be a personal examination. We say, I need to start seeking after God. I need to seek after Him more. There must be a personal acknowledging of the need. If we don't say and realize that we have the need, you know what? We're not thirsting. We're not seeking after God like we ought. We're deceiving ourselves. We need to personally have that desire. And even recently, I can testify in my own life, I've just been busy with other things that it's robbed and stolen my heart from truly seeking after Him. And I praise the Lord, even in preparation for this message, I've been able to refocus and start thirsting after God like I ought. As we see in Psalm chapter 42, our text here tonight, we see the author there of that passage. He was saying, my soul thirsteth after God. He was thirsty because there was a need in his life. There was a barrenness that he was sensing. There were people that were attacking him, that were going against him, and he felt his soul being famished. And he was thirsting after God. And notice there, he personally began to seek and cry after God. My soul, he says, thirsteth after, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. You know, what does it take tonight for a person to realize their need and begin to recognize that and seek after God? First of all, it requires humility. You know, a person that's proud, they're never going to start crying out to the Lord for help. Until the Lord breaks them, until the Lord brings them low, they're not going to seek after God. And you know, it'd be a whole lot better for us to humble ourselves than to let God do it. And tonight, you know, we can humble ourselves and start seeking after God. If there's a barrenness, a dryness in our own spiritual life, tonight we can humble ourselves and start seeking after God. And you know what? God, He will be found. He will replenish our soul. Turn to Isaiah chapter 57. Here's a great passage that tells us that how humility is such a key in seeing God work in our life. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Not the proud, not the stubborn, but the humble, the contrite ones. Tonight, do you have that attitude? Are you humbled before the Lord? Turn to James chapter 4. Another great passage here, but speaks the same truth. James chapter 4 and verse 6. We see humility is a key in us seeking after God. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God gives grace to the humble. And tonight, if you would humble yourself and start seeking after God, you know what? He will be found. He dwells with them that are of a broken and a contrite and a humble spirit. He dwells with them in a high and holy place. What a wonderful truth. So tonight, it requires humility for us to recognize our need. We're not going to recognize our need until we humble ourselves. It also requires brokenness, and those two truths are very closely related. But you know, we need to be broken. If there's sin in our life, we need to be broken over that. That's going to stiff arm the work of God in our life. That's going to hold it back His blessing. Turn to Psalm 34. Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34 and verse 18. The Bible says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Brokenness is such a key. You know, when we are broken before the Lord and acknowledging our need, you know, it's very closely related to humility, but I think it goes even a step further in acknowledging our own need for him. In Psalm 51, you don't have to turn there, verse 17, the Bible says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So humility and brokenness, brokenness over our need. Tonight, are we broken over our need for God? Do we see that we need to begin and continue to thirst and seek after him? We need to be broken over our sin. You know, it's very sobering that a lot of what God does in our life hinges upon our response to Him. Are we going to start seeking after Him? Do we desire His working in our life? And if we do, you know what? God is going to work in our life. But you know, it's sad so often when God's desiring to work that we stiff arm Him. We say, oh God, not right now. I got too many other things to do. I'm too busy with many other things. I don't have time to get right with you in that area. I don't have time to get rid of that in my life. And we stiff arm. We instead of being humbled and broken, we are proud and stubborn. And we see a great example of that in 2 Kings chapter 17. And the nation of Israel illustrates so many truths for us. But I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 17. And if there was anybody that God was merciful and gracious and long-suffering with, it was the nation of Israel. And time after time, they hardened their hearts. They turned against God. They went their own way. And oh, may that not be the story of our lives. May that not be the characteristic of our life, that we were stubborn, that we always were going our own way, and we would turn back to God, and then we'd go back to our own way, and God in His mercy would seek after us. And that's happened so many times to the nation of Israel. But I want us to see in 2 Kings chapter 17, we have a great account of what took place when the nation of Israel began to say no to God. And tonight, it's a serious thing if we say no to God. It's sobering. It ought to sober us, and it's a challenging thing. But I really think there's a downward progression that takes place when we begin to say no to God, when we have that opposite attitude of humility and brokenness. But in 2 Kings chapter 17, and I'll begin reading in verse 13. It says, "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, 'Turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets.' Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected His statutes, and His covenant that He made with their fathers, and His testimonies which He testified against them. And they followed vanity, and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them, that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke Him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of His sight. But there was none left but the tribe of Judah only." Notice in verse 13 and beginning of verse 14, they ignored the warnings. And when we say no to God, we begin to ignore His warnings. Maybe the voice of the preacher, the voice of the Spirit of God, and the voice of God trying to get us back on track. And what happens? We begin to ignore the warnings that God puts into our life. He sent the prophets. He sent all the seers and His servants to testify to the nation of Israel to turn back to God. But they said no. They turned away from Him. So they ignored the warnings. We see in verse 14 that they hardened their necks then. It's like somebody that's set in their ways. They're going a certain way and they're not going to turn. They're not going to look back. They're set in their way and they've hardened their neck. If you've ever, I've worked with animals very little, but I have seen at times animals like cows or something, just they're stuck in their way. You can try to get them to go one way, and you can't even push them one way or the other. They're set in their way. They've hardened their necks. And that's what took place with the nation of Israel. And that's what pride does, is pride. We've hardened our neck. We're set in our ways. In verse 15 and 16, we begin to see they hardened their neck. And then what did they do? They began to ignore God's word. What does it say? They rejected His statutes. In verse 16, they left all the commandments of the Lord their God. And it's a serious thing when we begin to go down the pathway of resisting God. It's a serious thing. And eventually we begin to ignore God's word. You know, the preaching, we can sit in the preaching for weeks and not hear the voice of God. When was the last time that you made a decision? When was the last time God spoke specifically to your heart and showed you an area of need in your life and you dealt with it? See, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be softened so He can work. He wants our lives to be pliable. But you know, they began to ignore God's Word. We begin to miss our study of personal Bible time. We begin to be slack in that. We begin to go the day without thinking about the Lord. We begin to ignore God and His ways. We see then that they turn to other gods. You know what? Even as Christians, we may not forsake the living God, but you know what? We may turn to other things that have a higher priority than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was challenged in thinking that the Bible even calls covetousness idolatry. So we as Christians can be coveting after things of the world and lusting after the things of this life. And you know what? Really, that's idolatry because we aren't worshiping God like we ought. And it's sobering, but as Christians, we can begin to go down that pathway. And you may think, oh, I'd never do that. Man, I'd never go that direction. But that's why it's so important that we keep a heart that's thirsting after God. A heart that's panting after Him. And what was the final thing that took place there in verse 18? Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of His sight. He's like, I've had enough with them. They wouldn't listen to me. I've had enough. And finally, He destroyed them. And friend, it's a sobering thing when we begin to resist God and say no to Him. And we begin to go our own direction. And tonight, maybe we've gotten off course. And tonight, we need to get back on. And begin thirsting and seeking after God. So a thirst for God comes with recognition of the need. Tonight, don't resist God. Acknowledge your need. Acknowledge our need for Him here tonight. And then finally, I want us to see that a thirst for God is always satisfied. A thirst for God is always satisfied. Isn't it wonderful, the Lord? He knows our needs. He meets them. And the psalmist here, he could say he's panting and thirsting after God, and he knew that God would satisfy and meet his need. We see that the Lord, He delights in satisfying our needs. When we're thirsting after Him, He delights in satisfying us. He doesn't hold back His blessing. He doesn't do that to us. No, He delights in answering, in quenching our thirst. I don't specifically remember it, that drought that we had that summer. But, you know, when there's been a long period without rain, there's nothing like seeing that thundercloud in the sky. And when you begin to hear that rain coming and coming down on the earth and just begin to see the water penetrating that hard soil, that's a refreshing sight. And you know what? God, He delights in satisfying and refreshing our soul. And tonight, if we're thirsting after God, we can be assured that He is going to satisfy our every need. You know, He promises in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, He says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. You know, if we're thirsty here tonight, we can be assured that He is going to satisfy, that He's going to bring that water upon the thirsty dry ground. In Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. What a promise. We seek after Him with all our heart. He's going to be found. If we're thirsting, if we're panting after Him, the water brook will be found. The source of in Jesus Christ, sourced in Him. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Is there a sense of barrenness in your soul here tonight? Is there a longing after God? You know, He desires to satisfy it. And not just satisfy it, but give us abundantly more than what we could ask or think. He could fill our cup to overflowing. Is there a thirst for God in your heart here tonight? Maybe it's been a long time since you've really sought after God and made it a point day in and day out to seek after Him, to know Him. You know, we can wake up tomorrow. We can all wake up tomorrow and say, Lord, I want to walk with You today. I want to hear Your voice. I want to be trust You through the trials of this day. He can meet those needs. You know what? Tonight, if there's anything that's holding back you from seeking after Him, I trust that you would deal with that. If there's sin that's unconfessed, if there's a rebellion or disobedience against God, would you deal with that tonight and begin thirsting after God? We need God's working in our church in these days. We're trusting God for a lot of things. We have a lot of ministries that we're trusting Him to do a work in. And we need to thirst after Him and seek Him. And can I challenge everyone here tonight to renew their passion to seek after God, to know Him and hear His voice. And as individuals, as we seek after God, it will draw our church closer to Him. It will draw us as a congregation closer to Him. And that's what we need. That's what we need as a church. And maybe even taking some time this week and praying and seeking after God. And on your own behalf, but on the behalf of our church. We're in a needy time. Our young people need our prayers. Even us as adults, we need God's working in our midst. Are you thirsty tonight? Are you thirsty for God? And we need Him. And I trust that tonight you would recognize your need for Him. And that He can satisfy and He desires to satisfy and meet your every need. If you've ever seen cracked, hard soil, you see that ground needs water. And when that water comes and just replenishes the earth, those cracks disappear and it's a lush, rich soil. And you know what? Tonight, God desires to quench all the thirsty souls here tonight. And He is willing and able to do that. And I trust that that would be your heart cry, to thirst after God tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. Oh Lord, would You work in our hearts here tonight? Lord, would the cares of this life be set aside? And would our walk with You be preeminent and first in our life? And Lord, I pray that You would just kindle in each of us a thirst and a passion and a longing to know You. And Lord, we just pray that tonight as a church, as a congregation, we would be thirsting after You. We would thirst after God as in a dry and barren land. And, Lord, we thank You for the promise we've seen in Your Word that You are desiring and delight in satisfying our souls with water. And, Lord, we just pray that You would do that work in our midst here tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed.